Joe Carter with us talking about an amazing career, talking about the home run, of course, to win the World Series against the Phillies off Mitch Williams and the call of it. You'll never hit a bigger home run, Joe. Touch them all. And, you know, the call still, Tom Cheek, it gives you thrills just to hear it when MLB does it. So I say put it as a ringtone. I think it would be okay. Your parents must be very proud of you.
You know, my parents were our biggest fans. My father, he passed away in 2012, but at 82 years old, very competitive man. You know, I was one of 11 kids. Yeah. So he couldn't afford to really take off work when we were younger to come watch me play. But you know what, Marty? He did. He always made sure that he watched, he took off, and he spent time with his kids and watching them play sports. We were all great athletes, but, you know, I've seen a lot of great athletes. They look in the stands. Their parents aren't there because they're working. And so those guys really didn't go out and be successful in life as far as sports were concerned. But my dad was always there through thick or thin, hell or high water. He made sure he was always at all my games and one of my biggest fans. I miss him to this day because you think about it. It'll be 4 years in September. I still got his number in my cell phone, and I still look at it, and you know, he'll give me that call because he was Joe Carter Sr. and I was Junior, and you know, he'd always look at me and go, "Hello, Joe Carter," when he called, you know, things like that. But you can see the pleasure on his face, the smiles that I made them very proud. And it wasn't just really on the field, it was off the field too, the way you carry yourself. And you know, he taught me at an early age to respect others, that you're no better than anybody else and nobody's better than you. You treat everybody equal, whether they're way up here or down here, doesn't matter. And I've always lived by that rule, and you know, always give back. You know, we do a lot of things in the community. I've got a golf tournament in Toronto for the Children's Aid Foundation that has raised over $1.7 million. And in fact, we have the tournament this year in Toronto. It happens to be the same time the Diamondbacks are in town playing Toronto. Okay. So it works out pretty good, and we didn't plan it like that, but you know, my family, they're very proud of what I've accomplished, and it would not have been for them. You know, they were with me all the way, you know, from step one to now.
Boy, the Diamondbacks are lucky to have you. I mean that. Lucky to have you.
I'm lucky to be with the Diamondbacks, really. It's a great organization from Derek Hall, Ken Kendricks. I mean, I have been impressed with the way they do things. And the biggest thing I've been impressed with is how involved they are in the community. Yeah. I mean, I think they were ranked the number one club to work for as far as employees, fan-friendly, but all of their employees donate a lot of their salary back to the community. So they have great charities, and they're always doing things. And it starts from Ken Kendricks and Derek Hall. You know, that's the things they want, and that's they institute everything as a big family. A lot of people say it, and a lot of people don't do it. Yeah. This organization says it, they do it, and they mean it. They walk the talk.
Oh, very nice. Now, I grew up in Brooklyn, so for me, number 42 was a big part of my life. I've got his jersey hanging up in my bedroom at home, and Dusty was here every April 15th. Dusty would always say it's his birthday and it's also tax day, so Dusty never really liked it. But we would do something every year on Jackie Robinson. So just want to get your thoughts about April 15th and what Jackie means to you.
You know what? My dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan and an L.A. Dodger fan because of Jackie. And a lot of people in the African-American community, you know, related to Jackie Robinson. And, you know, the guys these days don't really know that much about Jackie, but I've lived some of that, hanging around guys. Buck O'Neill was the scout who scouted me, who managed Jackie Robinson, told us a lot of stories about Jackie Robinson. But the things that Jackie went through, you know, there's always that trailblazer, the guy who sets the mode for everybody else who goes out there first, and Jackie was that guy. And, you know, I think back, could I have done that? I don't know if I could have done that, because the things he endured and went through, it was all a way to open the door for all of us. And, you know, talking to Buck, O'Neill, and he was saying at the time that, you know, Jackie wasn't the best ball player, you know, in the Negro Leagues, but he was the best ball player to be able to take what was going to be given to him or put up on him to be that trailblazer. And I owe my whole career to Jackie Robinson. That is something that, you know, with him, his wife Rachel, the kids, you know, I'm indebted to them for a very long time, because what he did was truly a phenomenal moment. And to see every stadium have his number retired and have a day for Jackie Robinson, I say kudos, because it is well worth it. I mean, you can't get any bigger than that. I'm telling you, it's great, you know, that we have the opportunity as African Americans to play this game of baseball that we love so much. And it was all because of guys like him.
Yeah, Joe Carter with us as I celebrate that day. And I tell you, July 5th of 1947, I still celebrate Larry Doby.
Larry Doby.
First in the American League and Cleveland Indians, one of your teams.
Yes, yes.
But I do it. July 5th, 1947, only 3 months after Jackie. And they brought Larry Doby in the Cleveland clubhouse, and everybody turned their back on him. And he only got like 5 at-bats the first year. The next year, Lou Boudreau put him in center field, and they won the World Series.
Yeah, that was what was that 48 when they won. Yeah, when they won the World Series, and that doesn't happen too often in Cleveland.
That's the last one.
Yeah, but you know, all that people want in life is a chance. You give us a chance. You give, and not just blacks, but you give anybody a chance. See what they can do. Don't just judge a person based on their race, ethnicity, religion, or their color. Do it because they give them the opportunity to see if they can do exactly what you do. And I guarantee you, this world will be a lot better place. But Larry Doby, Monty Irvin, you know, all the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, Satchel, you know, they went through a lot, endured a lot, because at the time, they played the game for free. I mean, that, you know, I live in Kansas City, so I know about 18th and Vine, you know, the Negro Leagues Museum, Bob Kendrick's there, and how on every Sunday they'd have sellout crowds, everybody in the stands with the three-piece suits on and the hats, you know, the ties and everything. I mean, that was what you did on Sundays. You went and watched the Negro Leagues play baseball wherever they went. So, you know, we're indebted to those guys for a very long time, and I wish that, you know, these young guys now could really just go back and look at some of that past history, and, you know, because it wasn't always roses and making, you know, $10-15 million a year. Those guys played the game when there was no money involved. Yeah. They played it for fun.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you one last time about Willie. When Willie Mays came up, you know, he started in the Negro Leagues at 16 years old with the Birmingham, yeah, Black Barons. When he got there in 1950, this was not a typical 19-year-old. This guy was a veteran who played with the toughest men in the world and who had to learn the game. When he came up, he was Willie Mays.
I tell you what, I mean, to say who the greatest player of all time in baseball is, my vote will always go to number 24 to say, hey, kid, Willie Mays. Because Willie, and playing here in San Francisco, I got a chance to talk to him a lot. And he says, shoot, Joe, if I had known 40-40 was going to be such a big thing, he said, I did it 10, 11 times, because he had that ability. But a guy who could do not one thing, not two things, he could do everything. Power, average, run, throw, instincts. I mean, manage everything. And so I admired everything he did. And like I say, just talking to him and listening to him talk, I learned a lot from Willie Mays, and just by watching him play. And that's why I try to pattern my game. It's like, go out there and play every day. And you never saw me down. I always had a smile on my face, whether I was 0 for 10 or 10 for 10. It was the same. But every day I put the uniform on, I felt blessed by God that I had a chance to go out there and play a kid's game and play it and make a living out of it and still make a living out of it. But more or less, importantly, just giving something back, because we've all been given a platform. Now you have an obligation. You know, too much is given, much is expected. So you give it back, you have some fun, pass it down, and you leave that legacy.
Great to have you on. Everyone who listens to this will know you're a very special guy today, and you're on our list. I'm telling you, you're on our list. This is good.
All right, I'm looking for that list. I know, you know, because I've always thought that the Hall of Fame, it should be done. The majority of the voting should have been done by the players, because we know the game and what it takes. You know, I've always put it to the test because the media, you know, they vote for the Hall of Fame and everything. To me, it would be like asking every player to vote for the best writer and put them in the Writers Hall of Fame. And you're like, you know, do we have that credential?
Yeah.
No, because we're not writers. So that's why I like the Veterans Committee, because yeah. those are guys who played the game and who know that in that era, and I know that once you get close to 400 home runs, that was kind of the benchmark in a 10-year dominance, and I think I had that, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that time.
Very good. Joe, a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, Marty, thank you for having me on.
That's Joe Carter, fans. I know you're going to appreciate that. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.